Some people in the Northeast and Midwest who lost their electricity during the summer's blackout may have momentarily romanticized about life off the grid. Doug Fine of member station KHNS in Haines, Alaska, does live off the grid, and for him, power outages are a bit of a dog bites man story. In his remote cabin, the power fails more often than it works.
Here in Southeast Alaska, this is the time of year when we start to get nighttime again. These first late summer evenings are like being reborn. Suddenly I have to wear my headlamp to find the cabin door at 10 p.m. Of course, sometimes the northern lights will help, but like all forms of power in rural Alaska, I can't rely on them. So when I heard what a behemoth this lower 48 blackout story had become, I had to chuckle a bit. Distraught tourists in Manhattan having to spend a warm evening out eating melting ice cream? Please. For me, an all-too-common example of a blackout was one which occurred last winter. My hydropower generator, my own personal grid, blew an alternator, and I was on wood heat for the next 2 months. During those times when my wet logs smoldered pitifully in the stove, I fantasized that it was a matter of life and death, especially when the temperature dipped to zero. Of course, the culprit in the recent blackout was a much bigger, notoriously interconnected grid. The word grid itself conjures up a matrix-like control network. I fear and envy that grid, flawed though it may be. In the world of my pitiful anti-grid, just switching on a light is not as easy as it sounds. First, I have to get lucky with a panel of giant old batteries inside the cabin. Hopefully, there'll be enough juice left in them to get a light bulb going while I find my flashlight. Then I can fumble through the alder to start my aging generator. That'll recharge the batteries again. And if I'm lucky, will also buy me an hour or two of laptop time, though it tends to scare the wolves. Sure, it's a bit of a challenge, but all the other things that come with living remote seem worth the trouble. The clean air and water, the absence of traffic jams, the northern lights. And yeah, I'm a little proud that my propane-powered freezer is filled with salmon I caught. Of course, I could choke on a bone any evening and not be able to call for help. I'm without phone service, and thanks to all the dang eagle-filled mountains, I can't even use a cell phone. But I'm glad to hear that the civilized world is back up and running. It means the catalog company will be sending me my new batteries for the cabin, assuming it's weathered the latest worm attack. I'm counting on those batteries to get me through another winter on the anti-grid.
Doug Fine is the author of the memoir, Not Really an Alaskan Mountain Man.